What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west, and me and B are south. I don't know how far south, but we are sitting
We're very far south.
We are in the Miami sun, baby.
Yes.
Watching some field goals. Is that going to get there? No.
Nah. That was a punt, though, JP.
Was it? Okay. Brian and I down at Baptist Health Training Center, just in Miami Gardens, Florida. Literally... What do you think that is? A quarter of a mile from Hard Rock Stadium where the Dolphins play their home games?
About that.
This is the Dolphins practice facility where the Commanders will take part in a practice against Miami. Should be underway here in about 5-10 minutes. We'll be giving you live updates, broadcasting live all day. We're hoping we'll have a Commanders player join us after practice. We'll see how that goes. A lot to discuss, B. I thought... There's some very real, like, human stuff going on that I think we should touch on. And I think a big part of that is the bond between – so last week the Commanders had practices against the Jets. Sam Fortier looking stylish in the short shorts. Just got to give him credit.
Yeah, legs look like out-of-bounds steaks, though. Need some sun on those things.
Get a little sun, buddy. But I think, you know, Dan Quinn last week was up against the Jets – and Robert Saleh was his old linebackers coach when he was in Seattle. Uh-huh. That's going way back. Mike McDaniel today has talked about what Dan Quinn means to him as a person. And I think this is real life, man.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel was on the staff with the Falcons. And then, you know, I think he had some demons, man. Like he had some demons. He had to figure out his path forward, mm-hmm. and part of that was like the journey to sobriety. And I think Dan Quinn was a huge part in his life. You know what I mean? And B, that's real life.
Yeah.
And like when people talk about the guy Dan Quinn is, we'll find out how he handles the 2-minute drill or uses his timeouts or, you know, if the defensive prowess we saw in Dallas was because they had Micah Parsons or because he coached them up. Like, we'll find all that out.
Yeah.
But when you hear people talk about the guy he is, like, I mean, you and I both had people reaching out from around the league when they knew DQ was a real option to get this job saying what a great guy he is.
Totally.
And I think when you hear Mike McDaniel talk about what Dan provided him in his fight for sobriety, which for a lot of people is a fight for your life. It's a really good, healthy reminder of who the hell knows if they're going to go 3-14 or 14-3 or somewhere in between. But DQ's a good guy, and there's a reason people gravitate towards.
Well, good things normally happen to good people, to be honest with you, and good people that work their ass off. And I think Dan Quinn does that. I'll tell you things I look at, and you know, this is me. I don't care how anybody else look at it, this is what I look at. I see how normal people are when they get into certain positions, okay? Dan Quinn is in a position of power. NFL coach is a position of power.
Sure.
When you start looking at it. But he doesn't walk around and act like that. You know what I mean? I walked down the lobby this morning. I went down there early to eat breakfast. He's walking around by himself. A lot of other people I see, coaches and, you know, front office people, in the past, have walked around with a damn slew of people as if you need security in a hotel where just a team is staying in. And the man is walking around by himself. He's talking to people as they come up. And it was not people that work on the team. It was people outside of it. I try to see how normal people are, you know.
Totally.
We get judged based off of what people
think. Bro, that's one of the reasons I like Jaden Daniels is,
right. And he was down in the lobby.
He's pretty easy.
I just started talking to him.
Quarterbacks are always going to be quarterbacks, but he's still just.
But the thing is, how normal can a person be? You know, will you just talk to anybody? And I see he does that. And that doesn't mean anything, as you said, about getting on the field and coaching and things like that. But it shows that you're not stuck on yourself.
Totally.
You understand what needs to happen outside. And a lot of times, people like that can help pull somebody else up. And he's done that over and over again. So you have to give him his kudos for it.
Hell yeah. I want to start there. There is a ton for us to cover. You hear the horn going off there to start practice. The Dolphins are now out on the field.
We may lose 12 pounds of that right now.
If you're watching on the stream, B and I are both on the stream. It's warm, bro. Like, it's funny. I was joking with Tischler and Nikki about this. When it the heat kicks up in Virginia, whether we're in Richmond or Ashburn or wherever the hell, and inevitably we end up asking players, like, oh, man, it was hot out there. And so many players so frequently are like, man, I'm from Texas. Man, I'm from Florida. Man, I'm from Louisiana. Like, this is different hot.
I'm from Louisiana, and guess what? This is what I remember growing up on. The thing about it just stays there. And you got to realize we are no more than a mile or two from the ocean.
Right. And yeah, we're not far inland.
You get heat and a lot of moisture, you get a lot of humidity, and that's the whole thing. Right now, we're waiting on this tent to come, and the only reason they're not getting the tent is because of Bram and Ben Standing. I'm about to go move them from under the damn tent, to be honest with you.
Is that why?
That's the reason.
Because they think that's like official business?
I'm about to go take their business away from them because we need something to block this sun because it's about to move down from this palm tree.
So everybody knows it's 10:15 a.m. Right now it feels like 94 degrees. We need to get camera on the phone because I don't really know what this means. But
it's going to be hot.
B, it's 72% humidity.
Yeah, and probably going to go up.
So everybody that's wondering, like, how much beach time Brian and I have gotten in, let me be crystal clear, zero.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The funniest thing I've seen all day, I started getting a lot of pings from my Instagram yesterday. And I'm like, why is everybody just, like, sending me laughing? And
B-Mitch babysitting service.
I took a picture with JP and his daughters, and he said, I found a babysitter, and everybody must really believe I'm going to be babysitting.
So we did have a fun flight. We were all on the same flight from Dulles to Fort Lauderdale last night. And
did we freeze up?
I think you did. I think I'm still in business. I'll work on that in the break. But I think, you know, with the flight down last night, so B was hanging at this restaurant right by our gate. We were all chilling, so I had the girls.
Chef Jeff's.
And the girls immediately got into, like, crazy joke time with B. Mitch. And Shelby was, like, coming up with all these crazy theories about – you know, what happens if a robber comes? Will Mr. B. Mitch fight him off? And it was a really cool way because today is my daughter's birthday. So by the time we landed, we didn't have any luggage. So we just kind of got right to the hotel, but my kids hadn't eaten. So by the time we get the kids into bed, it's like 10:30 at night, right? And then my wife makes me decorate this morning. Or last night, so that Shelby would wake up to a room that was decorated for her birthday. You know how hard it – I had to blow up 20 balloons last night.
Wow.
Blowing up balloons sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you're out of shape.
I was in shape. It hurts your, like, cheeks. I don't know how to describe it. But, like, I'm not Dizzy Gillespie. I'm not built for this
stuff.
A lot
of things I can say about that, Jay. I'm going to leave it alone. But, Jeff, I'm about to get back on my computer and say it cut off.
All right.
For a problem it had. I don't know what the problem was, but – I don't know.
What do you, Jalen Ramsey walking out? Does that look like he's not practicing?
Look like he is not practicing at all.
They have pads on, right? And he doesn't have.
He don't have on pads. He don't have on pants.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey just walked out with a hoodie on and pants, and the rest of these guys are dressed for football. So we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't expect Jalen Ramsey to be practicing. Jalen Ramsey, if you live under a rock, do you think somebody listens to our show and doesn't know who Jalen Ramsey is? I'm curious, like that Venn diagram.
There are some people that don't pay attention outside of Washington.
So the great Landini got a day off today. We got Jeffrey running the show and our guy Toby helping out. Good morning, boys. How you doing?
What's up, JP? B. Mitch.
Tobo, you all right?
What up, man?
Yeah, I'm a little jealous as I look on the stream and you're chilling in some sunshine. I'm glad it's not hot, but you know how leaves it in here.
Mean,
it's pretty hot in here,
it's
too.
Not, it's hot as hell. This shirt is wet.
I'm saying I'm glad it's not hot in here where we're at.
Yeah, we're good. We're cool.
Yeah, okay.
Toby, you might see palm trees. They exist here.
Yeah, we're under them.
But
and it's not blocking the sun.
I would tell you that I know how hot that studio gets. It is hotter here right now. I assure you of that. I mean, let's just do it because sometimes Jeff surprises you. Jeff, you know who Jalen Ramsey is?
Nah, I don't know who Jalen Ramsey is.
You're doing a bit, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Of course I know who Jalen Ramsey is. You tell me.
You never cease to surprise me, bro.
You tell me.
Oh, is that your Jalen Ramsey impression? That's
yeah.
kind of good.
You tell me.
No, but he's also – you got to add the shoe in there because he drops that one kind of frequently. So there's plenty for us to discuss today. We got to talk about this quarterback situation because I don't know exactly how this is all going to shake out. I think, obviously, there's no question about the starter, right? Like, remember when people tried to pretend there was a question about who was starting? There never was. There never is. And it's Jaden Daniels. And there's a ton of reason to be excited about that.
Yep.
But for this weekend, Grant had the story yesterday that they were working out Trace McSorley. For the way I understand it, there was never even a workout. They just signed him. And you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. We know that Hartman has the shoulder injury. Well, then the news comes out that Marcus Mariota is dealing with a groin and isn't going to practice today and isn't going to play Saturday night. So I think Commanders fans, I think Burgundy and Gold faithful, I think you better buckle up for about three quarters of Trace McSorley on Saturday night.
Possibly.
And I think you better take the under. I think we might just ride the under train again. McSorley has been in Cliff Kingsbury's offense before, so ideally he can handle the offensive load, at least kind of the playbook and everything. I don't think this is a big deal, mainly because it's August 15th, but I do wonder if you got to – I'm sorry, you're still going to see plenty of Driscoll. I didn't mean to skip over Driscoll. But, like, I think there's a – how comfortable do you think they are quarterback depth, Mariota Driscoll right now?
I think they're very comfortable with it.
Just a slight groin thing?
I mean, And because I think if he has a slight groin right now, you don't want to go out here today or this weekend and make that worse because that groin can end up being something that goes all into the season. I believe they're very confident in Mariota, and if they have him there with Driscoll as the third guy, they're cool with it. But if something happens with Mariota, I think there would be that cause for concern immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why you just shut Mariota down now with the groin, especially considering what a level of runner he is. You know what I mean? Like, that dude runs. So if there's a twinge, whatever it is, you don't need to overdo it.
Yep.
The other things to discuss, man, are thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
I tell you what, the Dolphins PR staff is great about providing water. I think they are slightly concerned people might melt out here. But we're going to make it. We got to have a further wide receiver discussion because it just keeps seemingly like amplifying. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've talked about what we have and haven't liked. Dan Quinn was asked today about kind of the wide receiver two battle.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's ongoing. And I'm okay with that, right? Like, this group is all about competition, and they're preaching competition. But it you know,
they're not just preaching it. They're making it happen.
Right.
And you know, I don't know if players and fans alike are not accustomed to it, but it's what you need, man. Let's be real. I think people sometimes forget how much we've complained about what has not been happening on this team. And we consistently want different, but we still act like we want it to be like it was.
Sure.
The man said we're going to compete. There's competition going on right now. There's a guy in Diami who people say, oh, he was great at this time of the year all the time.
We got a break. Right. We're going to let you hear what the coach said, and then we're going to react. What does all this mean for Jahan Dotson? Let's discuss next on The Fan. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, live Miami Gardens, Florida, just outside Hard Rock Stadium at the Miami Dolphins practice facility.
You got on a blue shirt. I'm starting to think you're a Dallas fan. You
keep told you he a fan for real.
I'm serious, man.
You guys, stop
hell
that.
That.
God, you drive me crazy with that. I often think the Dolphins unis, by the time it's January and they're playing in Buffalo, look kind of silly. But the vibe down here with the turquoise and orange, and a lot of people kind of wear like retro gear down here.
Yeah,
it works.
It does.
It definitely works.
Yes.
What is not working or will not be working are a number of kind of the star players you'd be excited to see for the Dolphins. It doesn't look like we're going to see a fellow by the name of Odell Beckham. It doesn't look like we're going to see a fellow by the name of Jalen Ramsey, who Jeff knows who that is. It doesn't look like we're going to see a fellow by the name of Tyreek Hill. It doesn't look like we're going to see a fellow by the name of Jalen Waddle. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on all that. Now, Miami still has speed because they have one thing I love.
Our track team.
I love what the Dolphins have done is they've created an identity for their football team. And they draft to it and they sign guys to it and they try to stay true to that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And it's speed, 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 speed.
Speed kills, as they say.
Right. We'll see if they can break through in January. But it's pretty cool to watch out here. I mean, when you watch these running backs, I mean, even just the running backs, dude, going through, like, running backs all kind of warm up with some runs and then some pass drills. I mean, all these
I think
dudes,
the style down here is cut your pants off right below your thigh pads, and that's what you wear.
Yeah.
Because nobody has anything covering any knees out here.
Right. Shout out to the Dolphins PR department, who have really just been terrific. B-Mitch finally intimidated Standing enough that we got our tent. Well done, Brian.
And we're over there just chilling. I'm like, hold on, dude. Can you all get the hell out the way and let
shout out to the Dolphins tent? PR department. We appreciate you. let's talk about a situation. And let's start. I would argue that this is starting to seem like the busiest, the most interesting roster situation Washington's got.
Uh-huh.
There is zero question who wide receiver one is. It's Terry McLaurin. Undoubtedly.
Whatsoever.
Like zero, zero, zero question whatsoever.
I agree.
But number two, we've been saying this, if you got dropped off a spaceship and landed in Ashburn, Virginia in late July, you would think the second best receiver on this team is either Olamide Zaccheaus or De'Ami Brown.
Yeah, and based off of what they've been doing in training camp this year, yes, I agree.
And a lot of folks want to know what's up with Jahan Dotson. Yo, it's possible Jahan balls out Saturday night. What did I say?
You didn't say Olamide.
Okay, Olamide Zaccheaus.
You say Olamide.
Okay.
But it's okay.
Olamide. I'd like to say it.
Call
right?
him OZ. That's what they call him.
OZ is easy, yeah.
Yeah.
The question to me is not, oh, my God, what's wrong with Dotson? It's, yo, Dotson still has a chance to show he's a baller. Remember, his rookie year, he caught two touchdowns in the opener. So, yeah. Things could change in a hurry.
Could this whole thing be, damn, he finally got it, talking about De'Ami Brown? I mean, look.
They were really excited about De'Ami.
They were excited when they drafted him. And we've said it when they got this new staff. I know I was saying it, that they seem to be a better staff to coach people up. And if it's a competition now where we don't know and De'Ami begins to ball, who cares? I mean, you want to get the best out of your players, point blank.
Yep.
And if one guy is getting it and the other guy kind of is in a funk right now, that's the problem for him. You know, overall, what I'm trying to say is you have to be on a level of competition and competing every damn day of your career. You never get the chance to coast.
Hell yeah. I loved Jaden's answer going back to whenever that was before he had been officially named starter. He's like, you think I care? If they call me starter, I'm still going to compete.
Yeah.
But let's hear from Dan Quinn. This is Dan Quinn, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes ago, speaking here in Miami about the wide receiver two situation.
Where are you at with the wide receiver two search?
I would say we are right in the middle of it. And so you'll see a lot of guys in today. You'll see two, three, four, five. There's a lot of guys that are really battling. I've been really impressed with Olamide, and I thought he's had a really strong camp. Looking forward to getting Luke some extra work into here, Jahan, De'Ami. So that's where we're at, and then the special teams is going to have a factor in that as well.
Did anything stand out to you from that quote, Toby?
Yeah, I mean, we all assumed that Dotson would take this role, and it's clearly not his right now. So it's not great considering Zaccheaus has been kind of a journeyman and some of these other guys. So you would hope that someone would emerge, and maybe it is Zaccheaus, and that's fine. But doesn't feel good that you're at this point with a rookie quarterback and the number two wide receiver isn't kind of set.
Jeffrey, what did you hear?
I heard that it's a true competition. It don't seem like Quinn is on no sides. He's letting the best man win. And his name is Olamide.
At this point, yes.
Me, as a savvy dude that has been in the NFL a long time, as a player and working in media roles, is there any way they are publicly trying to push Jahan with some of this?
I don't think that this staff really goes into that. Okay. I think everything that they say publicly, they've said privately. And I think the ultimate thing is, listen, players are going to face this at one point in their career, no matter if it's early or late, where you're going to get to a point where you're going to notice that they may like somebody more than you. So what do you do at that point? Do you dig deep or do you just let it go? I wouldn't just let it go. I'm going to show you what I'm about. There are some people who fold and some people continue to push. And I think right now we're in a great point to find out exactly what we have. And when they make their decision, you will know that they chose the best person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it has to be right now. And I understand that some people fall in love with certain people. But you know what I fall in love with? I fall in love with winning.
Sure.
And I ain't been in love in a long damn time when I start thinking about this franchise. So ultimately, I am looking for the guys out here who are going to go out here and bust their ass on an everyday basis. And if somebody has a problem with that, then you know what? You're not really a football fan. You like a certain person. I like the football team. I want this team to go out there and become better than what they was. I am tired of every time I go somewhere, oh, man, what are they going to do next year? I don't want to talk about next year. I want to be focused on this year for once. So if it's competition right now, may the best man win.
Sure. I think I know Jahan. Like, I've known him since he was drafted. I'm a little surprised how this has gone so far. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that DQ was asked, hey, what about wide receiver two? And he named Zacchaeus, and he named Diami, and he said, we'd like to get more out of Luke. I don't think Jahan's name came out of his mouth, right?
It may not have, but like,
I'm asking. I don't think it did in that bite we just
played. See, this is the thing, though. The man has been talking about competition in all positions throughout this whole time. But everyone seems to just focus on Jahan. Why? Because he was a first rounder. I think the ultimate thing is we have to understand he hadn't said who's the starter at quarterback, although we know. He said, I want competition at tight end. I want competition at running back. I want competition at receiver. I want competition at DBs. But we focus on the one thing that we think. So I asked a question to everybody out there who decided that they wanted to assume and understand. Do you see what a lot of other people are saying? Do you see that somebody else might be playing a little bit better? So you said it because I'd be damned if I was the only person that starts seeing some stuff. And when I mentioned my stuff the other day, I was talking about multiple people.
Yeah, people tried to zero in on you.
People zeroed in on one guy.
Yeah.
One finger salute to y'all with that one. But the whole thing about I said about a lot of people, I'll say one damn thing. I don't care who knew what I was talking about, but I guarantee the people who I was talking about, they know. Because one thing about competitors, they know when they're not doing their best. And if they hear something from somebody that they know is going to be straightforward with it, they know. So if you got mad, who gives a damn? My ultimate thing is for this football team that wears burgundy and gold to become a better football team. And if that's not what everybody's hoping for, then you're hoping for the wrong damn stuff.
Tyreek Hill update. I want to talk about something that I heard from Dan Quinn that I found really, really intelligent. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Football is approaching, and it's time to get in on the early action this season. Listen, we have all types of things. We talk about Tyreek Hill. He's not playing today, but you know what? Once the season starts, he will be playing. So if you want to go out there and take a future for the most receiving yards in the league, go with Tyreek Hill. If you start thinking about the rushing yards, I'm saying you go over to San Francisco with Christian McCaffrey. Then we start thinking about the teams. Will the Miami Dolphins finally get over the hump? Because they play great against bad teams. They play great in the good weather. When they go to bad weather, it's a problem. If they get over the hump, they can give some teams in the AFC a run for their money, but do not put in your best without putting in the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bet if your first $5 bet wins. There's no better place to get ready for football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up today. That's FanDuel.com/Brian, B-R-I-A-N. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Shout out to everybody on the stream. Say what's up to Chris Kerwin. There he is, the man, the myth. B. Mitch and Finley live. Miami, Florida, baby. Trick load of kids. All right, we are at practice. A little Tyreek Hill news.
Yes.
I think, Brian, when I was in high school, I don't want to name a name because he might get mad at me, but we had one player that was really good, and sometimes he just came out to practice later. Like, that's just kind of how it happened, right?
Well, if he did, the coaches allowed it.
Yeah, and, like, maybe he was getting stretched. I don't know. Tyreek Hill wasn't here for a while. Now he's here.
Yeah.
And when you are challenging the fastest man in the world – to a foot race?
Yeah.
Maybe that's how you get it. Hello, Nikki. Nikki's checking us out.
He's still getting stretched out.
I think Standing's still shook from when you threatened him for the tent. Tyreek Hill, though, is out here now.
Yeah.
And Dan Quinn, I thought, had a really interesting kind of line theory, whatever you want to call. Dan Quinn was asked, and let me know when you have it, boys. Dan Quinn was asked this morning kind of about, yo, you're going up against a really explosive team. Not to mention, you know, you guys played them last December. Now, Quinn wasn't the coach, but yeah. This football team played the Dolphins.
Didn't look very good.
No, I think it was 31-7 at halftime or something.
Yeah. Real bad.
Tyreek Hill had a 78-yard touchdown pass within minutes of the game kicking off. And I thought DQ had a really, really intelligent line kind of explaining why he's going to put people in certain positions. You guys ready with that audio? Let it ride.
No, it's a great question because in the preseason, you actually want to put people into the hardest looks and the hardest matchups. So there's times you'll want to do some things just to, you know, put some stress onto a call or to a person in a coverage or whatever that might look like. And so to see, you know, the different elements offensively, defensively, on teams, I think it's a great test. And these are, at practice, perfect times to do that and play man-to-man coverage, play a zero blitz look, play things that maybe you wouldn't normally do just to, you know, really emphasize the stress and the evaluation of that play or that player. So I am really in favor of these practices. I think they make a lot of sense. And having to do it one day, then the day off, and then the practice, it really times up well. You'll see some players get a lot of reps today and then not many in the game, and then some very few today and get a lot in the game. And also there's a good selling point for that, for the player that's going to get few today. Saturday's coming, and you get a chance not only to perform for our team, but potentially for 31 others to show what you can do. And so I think there's a lot of value in that.
I think Ocho Cinco just walked in.
Yep.
Wearing a Tua jersey, which is kind of hot. He is skinny.
Probably driving his Prius.
I wasn't expecting Chad Ocho Cinco to walk right by us and be that skinny.
He's a Miami guy, brother.
He is a Miami guy. Yeah. So here's what I heard from DQ. Hey, man, we know the type of offense we're going up against. We know that our secondary has struggled. And if they struggle, it's because we're challenging them in this setting.
Yeah.
And when we get to a real game, we will build support systems differently.
Yeah.
And I think if he's telling the truth, it's really smart.
I don't think you have a question. I think he is telling the truth. I think the ultimate thing is this, okay? We've gone through times where people talk about we don't need to play preseason. Preseason is not that important. You have a coach and a staff that believes that is important. So if you have to do it, why not go through it by learning stuff from about your team? So he talked about, I like to put people in difficult situations. So he put him in difficult situations, and if they stand up to it or they don't, then you have a coaching thing to do now. You know, if they're very good at it, you know, you want to keep that going. But if they're not, you want to make sure that they correct it the right way. And when I'm watching the game, that's why I don't get a little hooked up too much, because I've listened to DQ talk a lot where he says, we want different groupings. We're trying to figure out what we're really going to be able to work with. And they do that on a consistent basis. So I don't get annoyed by certain groupings or personnel groupings, because I know they're just trying to find something out. That isn't necessarily what they're trying to say it is.
Agreed. And I agree with you. I think that is the design. But I think there's also a little room for, if the Dolphins post a video of Tyreek cooking everybody, hey, man, we were trying some cover zero stuff. This is not how it's going to look in the regular season.
I don't think they care about that, because the ultimate thing is you're trying to get better. Look, Tyreek cooks people on every football team. So if we think we're going to all of a sudden just show up and stop him, that would be crazy. But that's just, you have to go out there and you just have to start preparing your guys for things. If Tyreek Hill only got us, I understand.
Right.
He gets everybody. Well, he had 1,800 yards almost last
right.
year. He didn't just do it against Washington.
That's why, like, if people were upset with this secondary from last year, they should. But Tyreek cooked everyone.
Yeah.
It wasn't just them. Right now, right in front of us, B and I are watching as the Commanders' first team defense is taking on the Dolphins'
goal line situation.
First team offense. Yeah, red zone, goal line stuff. You've got Chin out there deep. Luvu and Wagner on the second level. Quan Martin kind of moving up into a slot role. Allen and Payne in the middle there. I don't see the edge on your side, B, with that goalpost. Sandra's still out there. Forbes, I think it was BSJ on the other side. Interesting look there from a Commander's defense that, you know, needs to perform better than last season, man.
Definitely, definitely. And we know that. And I think it's – I said this to you yesterday, and I was even more last night when I talked with Chick, and I talked with – I forgot somebody else earlier today. This is not just about the defensive secondary, because the secondary can be better if the front and the rush is better. And you would – last year we had a lot of problems with the first rounders that started the season, but were they really playing like that? Now you got guys that you might not necessarily know who if they can do it or not. Cleveland Farrell, okay? We have Jonathan Allen, Jerron Payne. We have Dorrance Armstrong. The outside rushes people always think about. You know what I think about more? Is the middle, okay? I'm not sitting up here worried about just the edge rushing. I'm worried about what the hell we could do up the middle, because I know, and most people that knows football know, a quarterback hates – pressure right up the middle. If we get those guys to do that, then all of a sudden now the secondary may have more opportunities. But if you let a guy drop, set, scoot, and then deliver, it's going to be hard for a cornerback or a safety to hold that long.
I tell you what, you got to be happy with what you just saw there, B. They sent some pressure up the gut from the backers. Tua was kind of on his back foot, floated one to the corner. Tyreek Hill in the vicinity, and Mikey Sammer still broke that thing up.
Yeah, Mikey
not is not scared of a big moment.
And we've talked about Mikey since day one, bro. This kid just has something about himself. Right there again, he was able to hold the edge and still go up there and stop the play. They were trying to run a reverse. But he is not overwhelmed by the situation. The moment is not too big for him. I think one of the coaches described him as like the quarterback of the defense. When you are confident in yourself, people call you arrogant, cocky. No. You're confident in yourself. You work at it, and he does a great job of it.
Well, and something that's also kind of – I mean, this is deep inside baseball here, but the Commanders' defense usually wears their red jerseys in practice, mm-hmm. but because the Dolphins are wearing, I guess, their home blues – The Dolphins, I think, go blue and white for their defense. So the Commanders' defense is in white. It's just kind of an interesting little wrinkle to this thing.
I like that look, though.
Yeah, it looks cool. And what else is cool, there's one player that wears an orange jersey for every practice. And I noticed it, and I was like, huh, what's that about? I asked the guy. It's the player that had the best practice the day before. You know who's wearing it today?
Who is it?
Kendall Fuller.
Alright.
I wonder, you know,
did he really do it, or did they just do that because, you know, they wanted to get, like, tell us, oh, y'all shouldn't have let him go?
I don't know.
Well, and you know, if I was a receiver going against him, you know what I'd be thinking? I'm going to cook his ass today. I mean, listen, bro. Practice competition is always about getting one up on the next guy. And if you get one up on the next guy, guess what you've done? You made yourself better. And I hope guys are thinking like, oh, he had the best practice yesterday. He won't have the best today. You got to always have something that pushes you. Michael Jordan said, everyone said, Joe Dumars can do this against, say he could stop Michael Jordan. No, Joe Dumars didn't. Michael Jordan said, Joe Dumars said it. And he got motivated by it. So if it can motivate you, use it.
All right, to Scotty G on the stream, he wants us to turn our cameras around so we can stream practice. No.
No, that's against the rules, and we are not here to do that. This stream is put up for whatever reason.
Yeah.
We try to do as much as we can with it, but some people won't think the stream is for them to dictate. No, we're going to dictate to us. We're telling you what's happening. We can't. If we were able to shoot it, believe me, it would be being shot.
There's a level of trust involved when the NFL lets you in the door.
And to be honest with you,
we're not going to break that.
There
trust.
Is no radio station broadcasting from this practice but us.
That's right.
And if they felt that good about us, I'd be damned if we're going to screw that up.
Correct. They got Big Trouble in Big D. Bobby Belt joins us from Dallas next to talk what's going on in Cowboys land. Shout out to everybody on the stream. Say what's up to Chris Kerwin. There he is, the man, the myth. B. Mitch and Finley live, Miami, Florida, baby. Trick load of kids. All right, we are at practice. A little Tyreek Hill news.
Yes.
I think, Brian, when I was in high school, I don't want to name a name because he might get mad at me, but we had one player that was really good, and sometimes he just came out to practice later. Like, that's just kind of how it happened, right?
If he did, the coaches allowed it.
Yeah, and, like, maybe he was getting stretched. I don't know. Tyreek Hill wasn't here for a while. Now he's here.
Yeah.
And when you are challenging the fastest man in the world to a foot race,
yeah,
maybe that's how you get it. Hello, Nikki. Nikki's checking us out.
He's still getting stretched out.
I think Standing's still shook from when you threatened him for the tent. Tyreek Hill, though, is out here now.
Yeah.
And Dan Quinn, I thought, had a really interesting kind of line theory, whatever you want to call. Dan Quinn was asked, and let me know when you have it, boys. Dan Quinn was asked this morning kind of about, yo, you're going up against a really explosive team, not to mention, you know, you guys played them last December. Now, Quinn wasn't the coach, but yeah, this football team played the Dolphins.
Didn't look very good.
No, I think it was 31-7 at halftime or something.
Yeah. Real bad.
Tyreek Hill had a 78-yard touchdown pass within minutes of the game kicking off. And I thought DQ had a really, really intelligent line kind of explaining why he's going to put people in certain positions. You guys ready with that audio? Let it ride.
No, it's a great question, because in the preseason, you actually want to put people into the hardest looks and the hardest matchups. So there's times you'll want to do some things just to, you know, put some stress onto a call or to a person in a coverage or whatever that might look like. And so to see, you know, the different elements offensively, defensively, on teams, I think it's a great test. And these are, at practice, perfect times to do that. And play man-to-man coverage, play a zero blitz look, play things that maybe you wouldn't normally do, just to, you know, really emphasize the stress and the evaluation of that play or that player. So I am really in favor of these practices. I think they make a lot of sense, and having to do it one day, then the day off, and then the practice, it really times up well. You'll see some players get a lot of reps today, and then not many in the game, and then some very few today and get a lot in the game. And also, there's a good selling point for that, for the player that's going to get few today. Saturday's coming, and you get a chance not only to perform for our team, but potentially for 31 others to show what you can do. And so I think there's a lot of value in that.
I think Ocho Cinco just walked in.
Yep.
Wearing a Tua jersey, which is kind of hot. He is skinny.
Probably driving his Prius.
I wasn't expecting Chad Ocho Cinco to walk right by us and be that skinny.
He's a Miami guy, brother.
He is a Miami guy. Yeah. So here's what I heard from DQ. Hey, man, we know the type of offense we're going up against. We know that our secondary has struggled. And if they struggle, it's because we're challenging them in this setting.
Yeah.
And when we get to a real game, we will build support systems differently.
Yeah.
And I think if he's telling the truth, it's really smart.
I think you have a question. I think he is telling the truth. I think the ultimate thing is this, okay? We've gone through times where people talk about we don't need to play preseason. Preseason is not that important. You have a coach and a staff that believes that is important. So if you have to do it, why not go through it by learning stuff from about your team? So he talked about, I like to put people in difficult situations. So he put them in difficult situations, and if they stand up to it or they don't, then you have a coaching thing to do now. You know, if they're very good at it, you know, you want to keep that going. But if they're not, you want to make sure that they correct it the right way. And when I'm watching the game, that's why I don't get a little hooked up too much, because I've listened to DQ talk a lot where he says, we want different groupings. We're trying to figure out what we're really going to be able to work with. And they do that on a consistent basis. So I don't get annoyed by certain groupings or personnel groupings, because I know they're just trying to find something out. That isn't necessarily what they're trying to say it is.
Agreed. And I agree with you. I think that is the design. But I think there's also a little room for, if the Dolphins post a video of Tyreek cooking everybody, hey, man, we were trying some cover zero stuff. This is not how it's going to look in the regular season.
I don't think they care about that, because the ultimate thing is you're trying to get better. Look, Tyreek cooks people on every football team. So if we think we're going to all of a sudden just show up and stop him, man, we're crazy. But that's just, you have to go out there and you just have to start preparing your guys for things. If Tyreek Hill only got us, I understand.
Right.
He gets everybody. Well, he had 1,800 yards almost last year. He didn't just do it against Washington.
That's why, like, if people were upset with this secondary from last year, they should. But Tyreek cooked everyone.
Yeah.
It wasn't just them. Right now, right in front of us, B and I are watching as the Commanders' first team defense is taking on the Dolphins'
goal line situation.
First team offense. Yeah, red zone, goal line stuff. You've got Chin out there deep. Luvu and Wagner on the second level. Quan Martin kind of moving up into a slot role. Allen and Payne in the middle there. I don't see the edge on your side, B, with that goalpost. Sandra's still out there. Forbes, I think it was BSJ on the other side. Interesting look there from a Commanders defense that, you know, needs to perform better than last season, man.
Definitely. And we know that. And I think it's – I said this to you yesterday, and I was even more last night when I talked with Chick, and I talked with – I forgot somebody else earlier today. This is not just about the defensive secondary, because the secondary can be better if the front and the rush is better. And you would – last year we had a lot of problems with the first rounders that started the season, but were they really playing like that? Now you got guys that you might not necessarily know who if they can do it or not. Cleveland Farrell, okay? We have Jonathan Allen, Jerron Payne. We have Dorrance Armstrong. The outside rushes people always think about. You know what I think about more? Is the middle, okay? I'm not sitting up here worried about just the edge rushing. I'm worried about what the hell we could do up the middle, because I know, and most people that knows football know, a quarterback hates – pressure right up the middle. If we get those guys to do that, then all of a sudden now the secondary may have more opportunities. But if you let a guy drop, set, scoot, and then deliver, it's going to be hard for a cornerback or a safety to hold that long.
I tell you what, you got to be happy with what you just saw there, B. They sent some pressure up the gut from the backers. Tua was kind of on his back foot, floated one to the corner. Tyreek Hill in the vicinity, and Mikey Sanders still broke that thing up.
Yeah, Mikey
not is scared of a big moment.
And then we've talked about Mikey since day one, bro. This kid just has something about himself. Right there again, he was able to hold the edge and still go up there and stop the play. They were trying to run a reverse. But he is not overwhelmed by the situation. The moment is not too big for him. I think one of the coaches described him as like the quarterback of the defense. When you are confident in yourself, people call you arrogant, cocky. No. You're confident in yourself. You work at it, and he does a great job of it.
Well, and something that's also kind of – I mean, this is deep inside baseball here, but the Commanders' defense usually wears their red jerseys in practice, mm-hmm. but because the Dolphins are wearing, I guess, their home blues, The Dolphins, I think, go blue and white for their defense. So the Commanders' defense is in white. It's just kind of an interesting little wrinkle to this thing.
I like that look, though.
Yeah, it looks cool. And what else is cool, there's one player that wears an orange jersey for every practice. And I noticed it, and I was like, huh, what's that about? I asked the guy. It's the player that had the best practice the day before. You know who's wearing it today?
Who is it?
Kendall Fuller.
All right.
I wonder, you know.
Did he really do it, or did they just do that because, you know, they wanted to get, like, tell us, oh, y'all shouldn't have let him go?
I don't know.
And you know, if I was a receiver going against him, you know what I'd be thinking? I'm going to cook his ass today. I mean, listen, bro. Practice competition is always about getting one up on the next guy. And if you get one up on the next guy, guess what you've done? You made yourself better. And I hope guys are thinking like, oh, he had the best practice yesterday. He won't have the best today. You got to always have something that pushes you. Michael Jordan said, everyone said, Joe Dumars can do this against, say he could stop Michael Jordan. No, Joe Dumars didn't. Michael Jordan said Joe Dumars said it. And he got motivated by it. So if it can motivate you, use it.
All right, to Scotty G on the stream, he wants us to turn our cameras around so we can stream practice. No.
No, that's against the rules, and we are not here to do that. This stream is put up for whatever reason.
Yeah.
We try to do as much as we can with it, but some people will think the stream is for them to dictate. No, we're going to dictate to us. We're telling you what's happening. We can't. If we were able to shoot it, believe me, it would be being shot.
There's a level of trust involved when the NFL lets you in the door.
And to be honest with you,
we're not going to break that.
There is no radio station broadcasting from this practice but us.
That's right.
And if they felt that good about us, I'd be damned if we're going to screw that up.
Correct. They got Big Trouble in Big D. Bobby Belt joins us from Dallas next to talk what's going on in Cowboys land.